Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Learning to Code in Python on the second half of the tutorials where we're going to crack on and make a game. In this tutorial, I intend to talk you through the first of your utility functions and explain to you the modules that we will be using. So let's start there. Let's talk about modules and also perhaps the layout of your folder. Many game developers lay out their folder structures in different ways, and you will eventually in time develop your own style for how you like to store files. For now, I've set mine out very simply. I have a folder called Guess the Numbers, as that's the game we're going to be making. Within that, I have a sounds folder, and I have created a game file. I've called this game.py. Remember that Python files always end in .py, and that's the language we're going to be using. I have also created another file, which I will talk about in a little while. You may want to, however, at this point, pause this tutorial while you get that structure set up. I have also put the sounds I'm going to be using for this game in the sounds folder. You may not have already recorded those. If you have, congratulations. If you haven't, don't worry about it. We won't be at that stage until 2 episodes time, but just make sure you have those ready. I'll be talking about the sounds you will need in said episode. So let's open up the game.py file in your favorite editor. For me, that's Notepad. For others, it may be Notepad++. Whatever your preferred one is, as long as it does the job. And the first line of our Python script is import pygame. That's the word import followed by a space and then pygame. Pygame, as previously discussed, is probably our biggest library or module, whichever name you prefer, we will be using in this tutorial. Pygame contains lots of different functions to do with creating games, from changing the display and how the display looks, showing graphics, to playing video, to playing sounds, to processing keystrokes, to processing mouse clicks, pretty much anything you could want in a game. It is, of course, not the only library out there that handles graphical user interfaces. There is WXPython, which I personally use for software. There is also Piglet, and probably many others that I simply haven't tried out. We will be using Pygame for the simple reason it contains pretty much everything we need. In that regard, it also contains the ability to play sound files such as OGG files, MP3s, and the like. I am personally using OGG files for this project, but whether you do or not is your personal preference. So, what other modules do we have for this game? We also have the time module, which one can use to, as the name suggests, do various functions with time. For example, checking what the current time is and suspending your program for a certain amount of time, which is called sleep, and that's what we are going to be using, is sleep. That's what we'll use that module for. We've also got one here called SYS, short for system, which we will use to quit the program, basically. Very simple. Now, we've also, in the example I have shown, imported a module a little bit differently. Instead of saying import something, we've put from module import something else. This is because we only need one function, and arguably we could do this for the other modules, as I'll explain in a moment. As you can see, I have written from random import randint. And the reason I've done this is because from the random module, I only want the function randint. Randint takes two arguments. Argument 1 is a lower number, argument 2 is a higher number, and it will choose a random number between those numbers. For example, if we passed it 1 and 6, it would choose either 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And that's perfect for this Guess the Numbers game, as we, or I personally anyway, am only going to be using 1 to 9. See if you can figure out where else we could have used this when importing. Pause the tutorial and resume it when you've got your guesses ready, or if you're really not into guessing games, just carry on. So, if you hadn't have guessed already, there are two other ways we could have written this. For example, with the SYS module, we could have just simply written from SYS import exit, and for the time module, from time import sleep. What difference does this make, I hear you ask? The only difference this makes is how you call the function. For example, with time, as we have written import time, if I want to call the sleep module, the sleep function, I would have to type time.sleep, left parenthesis, the time I want it to sleep by, right parenthesis. Whereas if I write from time import sleep, all I have to type is sleep, left parenthesis, whatever you're looking for, right parenthesis. Whichever you prefer to do is your choice. My personal preference, for the most part in any case, is to do it as import and a module name. This is because usually I tend to use more than one function, and to simply type from time import sleep, from time import time, from time import this, from time import, it would take too long. So I simply do import time and then call time.sleep. I'm going to be using a mix of both, as you've seen, import time versus from random import randint. That's just to get you familiar with both types of setting. Now finally, we have a import globals. This is going back to that file I was talking about earlier that I created called globals.py. I have created, basically, my own module. Why on earth have I done this? I hear you asking. What is the point? In the globals.py file, I am going to put all our global variables. At this point in the tutorial, I have only put one variable in that file called keypress. You'll see why you need that in the next tutorial, in the next episode. Why have I done this? Why haven't I just put it at the top of the file like a global variable? Quite simply, it's a best practice. In Python, Python allows you to define a variable name and then redefine it later on. So, for example, if I had a global variable called chosen, and then later on within a function I redefine that with chosen by mistake, it would not raise an error at me for redefining that. So as a best practice, I put the global variables that I wish to be available in all functions into a module. This then makes it so that I import globals, for example, and when I want to refer to the global variable called keystroke, I simply do globals.keystroke. My apologies. I called the variable keypress, not keystroke, but same difference. Therefore, if I later on was to define a variable called keypress within a function, it would not break or interfere with in any way the global variable, and at all times within my code, I know which variable I am referring to. It's a great best practice to get into, and I thoroughly encourage you to start from the beginning, because speaking from experience, when you get into this great habit and then go back and overhaul one of your projects where you didn't have the habit, you end up banging your head against the wall. Talking from experience. As promised, the other thing I'm going to do in this episode is talk about the event loop. There are many ways to do an event loop, and I reiterate, as I will continue to throughout this tutorial, this is one method. You personally may not, within your learning experiences, find it as the best or the worst. Other coders out there will disagree with how I do it, others will agree. Programming, at the end of the day, is a different park for everyone. So, here's how we are going to handle our event loops. Because I want to avoid using threading in these tutorials, because threading would require a lot of explanation and is quite dangerous when it comes down to it if you screw it up too badly, we are going to essentially create our own event loop, which sounds a bit complicated but really is quite easy. So first of all, we are going to create the function that will handle the events. And as you know from creating tutorials, from following our tutorials, the way to create a function is by typing def and then the function name. You can call your function whatever you like. I've called mine event underscore loop because it makes things easy to read, and this will take no arguments. So just left parenthesis, right parenthesis, followed by a colon. As we are now within a function, we must indent. I have provided the code for this event loop in the notes section and in the text version of this tutorial, which are both available in the table from which you obtained this tutorial, presumably. But I will walk you through each line of this code just so we know what it does. So the first line of this function, as you can see, is for event in pygame.event.get. What exactly does this do, I hear you ask? I am already confused. I am lost and bamboozled. Trust me, I was at first as well. Let's break it down. First of all, it's a for loop. That word at the beginning, for, and the form of it, for something in something, that's a for loop. Excellent, we know that. We can also see that the something is event, for event in something. So we are going to be going through a list of items. We are going to assign the variable name event to each of these items as we handle them, and we're going to do something with them, presumably. But what is this list? Pygame.event.get. As you might have noticed, there are an open and closed parenthesis at the end of that, just before the colon. It's pygame.event.get, left parenthesis, right parenthesis, colon. This tells us that get is a function, and it is part of, if we read backwards a little bit, the event module, which is part of pygame. Aha! That tells us a lot. This tells us, therefore, that pygame.event.get, in this instance, will return a list of events. These are events that have occurred since the last time it was called. Okay, so what are we doing? We are iterating over a list of events and doing something with them. Fantastic. Let's move on to line two. If event.type equals equals pygame.quit. It's important to note capitalization at this point. Capitalization will be, at the end of the day, the difference between the correct variable and the wrong one. Python in general, is case sensitive. This is pretty easy. It's an if statement. If event.type, okay, so we are referring to here a property, as it were, or a piece of information, a variable, as you like, which is stored on the object event. I feel like I may have bamboozled a few people there, so let me just stop for a second here. Remember, Python is an object-orientated language. Everything in Python is an object. A string is an object, a list is an object, even a number is technically an object. In that regard, for event in items, in this case, for event in pygame.event.get, our event is an event object. And the event object inside it stores information on a property called type. Now, that's a bit like a variable. If you'll remember back earlier, we created a module called globals, which had a variable inside called keypress. It's exactly the same. And in this if statement, if event.type, so we are checking the type variable within the event object, equals equals pygame.quit. We are literally comparing two variables. If this, basically, is a quit event. Next line on. Pygame.quit. Now notice here, both the difference in capitalization. In line 2, pygame.quit is capitalized. In line 3, it is not. But also notice that there are parentheses. We are calling a function here which quits pygame and tells it to close. Moving on. sys.exit. Same thing, we are calling a function on the SYS module, which closes the program out entirely, and then a return to stop this loop and the function entirely, because there's no point carrying on, we've quit. And then we have another if statement. This one is almost exactly the same to the if statement above, but I will talk to it very quickly. If event.type, we know what that means, equals equals, pygame.keyDown. So this time we are checking for a keyDown variable, i.e. has the user pressed a key down? You could also check for a key up variable in this scenario, as it were. So we could rewrite this line as if event.type equals equals pygame.keyUp. Your choice on that one. And you may one day develop a game where the difference between pressing the button down and lifting it up is the difference between, for example, shooting the gun and not shooting the gun. Now though, we're just going to use key down. And you will see this next line is a little bit different. In this regard, we have got globals.keypress equals event.key. What does this do? First of all, what is event.key? Well, just like with event.type, it is a variable stored on the event object. In this regard, event.key refers to a number which is represented in Pygame as a key press. That sounds a bit complicated, I know, and we are not going to delve into what number equals what keystroke, whether A equals 1, 64, or 195 billion. That's a little bit beyond this tutorial, because I'm going to teach you how to use the Pygame inbuilt variables to refer to keystrokes instead, so that you don't have to remember numbers. But I will touch on a different method you could use later on in the next episode. So what are we doing with event.key? We are storing it in globals.keypress, which is our module and variable name that we created. We are essentially storing which key the user pressed last. And that's it. That's the end of the function. So what does our event loop do? It says, for each event that's generated, check is it a quit event? If it is, then quit the program. If it's not, then do something else. Is it a key down event? If it is, then store what key was pressed. If it's none of these, then I'm not interested, I don't care, I'm not acting on it, go away. That's it. Congratulations, you have just written the most important part of your event loop. We will turn this part into a loop later on. You'll see how we're going to do that in 2 episodes' time. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode, where we're going to talk about sounds and keystrokes.